Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. This is where three astrologers gather together once a week to talk to you. Only there's only going to be two of us tonight because Heather's on a road trip. So we get here and we talk about the weather in the heavens and what's going on in the world and how it feels and how you can work with it productively and yada, yada. And so my name is Ann Ortley, and I live on the Upper East Side and work out of my house here. And I am joined by my illustrious colleague, Mark.
That must be the Upper East Side in New York City.
Upper East Side of New York City, yes.
Yes.
I'm having one of those, whatever. My brain isn't working the way it used to. I got up too early this morning. I had to think too early this morning, and it's been downhill all day.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm over on the West Side in New York City, on the West Side of Manhattan. And Heather, when she is with us, she's based in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right. But she's having a road trip because it's Mercury retrograde, and she always does road trips when Mercury's retrograde.
And somehow she always has a Mercury retrograde experience to report afterwards.
Yes, I think that's why she does road trips.
She always has
an adventure on a Mercury retrograde. She's like, yeah, I always have to take road trips. It's like, yep, that's how it's supposed to be. Kind of that Carly Simon song. Okay, so what we do here is we talk about the weather in the sky, and then if we have time, we take calls from our listeners. So we have a couple on the line already. Thank you for signing up early. Make sure to press 1 if you want us to call on you. So what I noticed this week is very exciting. It's probably one of the more exciting weeks of the year, maybe even your life. It's a very profound week. We have a lot of energy flying around and a lot of making choice energy. Last week was, to my mind, a week of getting clear. A lot of people had relationship dynamics clarify, you know, partners that were not performing adequately got the boot, partners that were provisionally performing got put on a performance plan, people got fired, people got hired. It was kind of like one of those really rocking weeks, and a couple people just got real clear on what they wanted. And it was a couple things, but basically two planets were stationing in fire. So whenever planets stop, they draw attention to themselves and what they rule. And in this case, it was Mercury, the planet of lightning bolts and experiences and seeing things, and Mercury in fire, rather, and Uranus, the planet of lightning bolts and seeing things. So Mercury actually is the planet of communication and understanding. So lots of clarity. So that was, I think, one of the big themes from last week. Mark, what did you see about last week that you liked?
It's always fun to watch Mercury stop and turn around and decide to go the other way. And then when Uranus is doing it at the same time, there is that sense of clarity. There's a strong intuitive impulse that comes through. So I always like that because I pay a special attention to anything that sort of comes intuitively. You know, I make sure not to say, oh, that's just a hunch. You know, I say, oh, any hunch counts this week. So that I just always enjoy. And I think a lot of people do that, to pay attention to hunches.
To hunches on the Mercury, yeah. Because they have a whole bunch of, you know, the energy is so crisp, especially when it's fire energy. It just lets you really see things you never saw before. And you really go, wow.
At the beginning.
Huh?
At the beginning of a Mercury retrograde period, usually things are, at least what I experience, things are not so gummed up and slowed down and mixed up as later on. It's early on. There's more of a sense of, maybe I should rethink this. Maybe I should look at this differently. How else could we do this? It's a more exploratory kind of, let's have a look at our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the retrograde moves along, we get sort of dragged into it, and there's a little more resistance to it, and, oh, I wish it would go faster, and all of that. But early on, I think we don't not welcome the chance to have a different way of thinking about things. We're more open to it.
Right. I find it helps reorganize, too. I mean, went to a workshop last weekend on Wednesday, and it was very helpful because it was kind of like, okay, are you doing this? Are you doing that? And a lot of times we get, you know, so busy going, we're not necessarily paying attention to the stuff that's gotten out of line in our piles. And I find Mercury retrograde a welcome time for doing the reorganization and the catching up with people. And, you know, you run around, you hear from people you haven't heard from in a while, too. And so with Uranus stationing, he's going backwards. He's bringing up the story from March 26th, but he's also going backwards until mid-December. So those two guys really were dancing in the heavens last week. Now, this week, we have a whole new story because Mars is in Libra, but he's going to be triggering the T-square that's in the sky. So there's a big T-square forming. We have Uranus and Pluto squared, which we know. But as planets enter Libra or Cancer, they're going to form a fast-moving T-square with that energy, with those two guys who are in a long, prolonged square for, you know, 3-4 years. So this week Mars comes to oppose Uranus, and that happens on Wednesday, and he squares Pluto, and that happens tomorrow. And so Mars and Pluto square is war on one level. It's also hot and kind of crazy, fighting, arguing energy where people get a little out of control. And it also is kind of, it's got an energy around, needing to take action and be in charge and do stuff. So it's very strong, you know, it's a very strong energy. And the opposition to Uranus is going to help us want to separate from something or see something in a different way than we perhaps have. Or we've been maybe working with something in a weird way, and now we're shifting how we're working with it and coming up with a new direction, really. And so that's really profound early in the week. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are feeling, you feel Mars as he's coming in. You know, he's not just when he's exact, although that certainly is when he's at his most potent, but on his approach, he's in the mood. So we certainly witnessed it this weekend, I think, with all the crap with the presidential campaign and whether Mitt Romney is the outsourcer in chief or not, and, you know, the truth or the veracity of the ads, that whole dialogue was very much, you know, how do we count the paper and how do we measure things? So I thought that was kind of an early indicator of it. And, you know, it seemed like Barack Obama's like, I'm not backing down, and Mitt's like, you need to apologize, you know, and Rahm Emanuel hops in and calls him a whiner, you know, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, it's getting a little wild out there. So what did you see about it, Mark? How did you see that showing up in your world?
Well, the contact between Mars and Uranus can always have the danger of impulsiveness. You know, things we act quicker than we really should. And so a lot of times it brings in accidents, especially with things that have moving parts. So it's a time to really exercise impulse control. And when we don't, there can be some pretty drastic accidents that happen. And I didn't notice in the news anything really big. It might have been, you know, more local, but it's something to keep in mind, you know, this whole week as Mars moves through that T-square to be very, very deliberate in our actions. I mean, that's the word I like to think of. It's deliberate actions rather than impulsive ones. And if they are deliberate, they'll work. And actually, especially with the square to Pluto, Mars needs that deliberate action because it's going to run up against an opposition. There'll be a power play very often. So in our everyday lives, we're likely to run into some kind of a test of wills. And when that happens, you need to be deliberate because if you're not sure and you're just doing something for the heck of it, it probably won't go very far at all, and you'll feel a little bad about proposing it, you know, because you don't have anything to back it. So you want to really be sure that you have your ducks lined up. And if they are, then you, you know, you'll face a challenge, but you'll move through it because you're meant to do it, and you know why you're doing it, and you know how you're doing it, and there you go. So the action will happen. But anything that's sort of half thought through and not doesn't have much real drive behind it is likely to get squashed. So get your ducks lined up and then take them for a walk.
Right, because they're wanting an outing.
Yep.
The ducks are wanting an outing. Yeah, the other piece of it that I noticed for this week is the heiress is stationing. Now she's one of the new ones on the block. You know, she recently was discovered. But she's the goddess of discord, so she often, when she's doing something in the heavens, and this last couple weeks Saturn has been opposing her, so she's been active anyway. But she seems to be around a bit when there's when there's trouble afoot. So she's stopping this week opposite Saturn and forming an aspect with him. And as she stations, we can anticipate discord going up a little. And she's one of the new ones. You may not have heard about her because she's out there at the back end of the solar system. But she's a 23, 22 Aries. So if you have planets there, they can be really feeling very highly stimulated for a couple reasons. One, because Saturn's on them. And two, because Eris is stationing on it. So it's kind of like, yeah, that just kind of kicks up the energy even more. So that's a nice one to watch for. And we also have Juno, who's the planet of partnership. She's stationing and turning direct in Scorpio. And she's also at 23. So there's a lot of planets hanging out at 23, talking to us, communicating on that point. And that point of the 23rd degree has been a hot degree for a while now because we had all the personal planets stationing all over that in the early part of the year. so now we have Uranus or Eris and Juno stationing there on top of the other guys. So what happens when a planet stations is it digs the energy in and amps it up. And so there's a combination of growing energy at the same time intensifying, very intensified feel to it. So if you find yourself kind of in a crabby mood, Mars is certainly stirring things, but then Eris on top of it, her stopping, I had somebody earlier today for a reading and we were talking, and it was kind of like, well, I've, broken up with that person 7 times already, but I really feel like this last one, when I broke up with them, it's really the done. And I'm like, yeah, this one is done. I think, because you're breaking up, you broke up like last week, it's like, yes, you're probably really, truly finished. So
yeah, with Juno stationing in Scorpio, that's a good bet because that's a real take no prisoners
right.
kind of energy. And Juno is the committed relationship, and if it is meant to break up, when it breaks up with a Scorpio energy, it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life or death. Right. Either it gets transformed or it's gone.
It really does die. Yeah.
Yeah. And Eris, with that station, Eris has also that do or die kind of energy to it. It's, although with Eris, it's kind of a, if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me, that kind of thing. So, whereas Juno's not interested in taking everybody else out, just it's very focused,
She's just after Zeus's girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. But, it has a name for all of them, whereas Eris will just, take the whole lot out, I don't care. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're going out with
us. You're going out with us. Yeah, it's more of a blood and... She's more of a blood and guts girl than Juno is. Yeah, the other thing we have happening is the sun going into Leo. So we've had summer start, but now on Sunday it gets really officially here in the form of it's in the hot fixed month of Leo, August. So we find that energy transforms into fixed fire. So we've been in water. And, of course, there's been no water. There's been a lot of drought because there's so many planets in fire and air that there's nothing falling from the heavens, raining on Earth. So we can anticipate the drought continuing as the sun goes into fire because it's going to definitely kick up that energy. And I think that's part of an interesting thing. I always find Leo one of my favorite times. You know, everybody's on vacation. You don't feel guilty about not doing stuff because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to play. And so it's like, hey, time to play. So I love Leo. And people take vacations and they're going, I'm gone. Bye-bye. Be back in a while. So it's also a time to recreate and kind of be creative and eat wonderful. I had really good ear corn the other night and bought some delicious beefsteak tomatoes from the farmer's market this weekend. And this is my favorite time of year with everything just deliciously ready to go. So.
Yeah, things really start to ripen and come into their fullness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just approaching the crest of the hill, but we're not over and sliding down yet. It's really, everything seems to be peaking when the sun comes into Leo.
Yeah, and that peaking energy is just delicious. It's just got a wonderful sense of creative to it. We also have a new moon at 24, 26 of Cancer, which is pretty big, actually, because it, of course, is talking to Saturn, too, the moon and the sun square Saturn, the new moon square Saturn. And it happens on Wednesday night, I think Thursday night, in the middle of the night, and then the next day, Thursday itself is in Leo. But so it's a conjunction at the late degrees. And new moons always are opportunities for us to start new things. So our job is to come up with, in our Cancer house, what new thing it is we want to start and what that looks like and what our vision of for ourselves is of it. So. And the image, the Sabian image for it is an interesting one. It says a huge storm rages as the people hang out in the valley or hang out in the canyon. It's kind of a weird image. But, I like those Sabian images because very often they match what's going on. So the Sabian image is a violent storm in a residential canyon filled with expensive homes. And
wow.
Yeah, but also like you were talking earlier, Mark was hiking this weekend and he was caught in a thunder and lightning storm. So that kind of violent storm as he was hiking on the mountains with his wife. And so tell about it, because I thought that was an interesting, the imagery you painted was very interesting and it kind of matches this wild and crazy moon that we're having.
Yeah, and also the Uranus Mercury thing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so much of that, but yeah, we were hiking along a carriage road, a couple hundred yards below a ridge, and the lightning was striking all along the ridge, and the thunder was rolling from very, very nearby, like right overhead. So it was a front row seat, and we were pretty well sheltered from it, but. You can never be totally sheltered when that kind of thing is happening. So it gets you back to that sort of primal scare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a new movie out called Ted, where it's about a bear who, you know, comes to life at Christmas one year, and they are thunder buddies. You know, whenever there's thunder and lightning, they run to get together and go, oh, thunder buddies, you know, we'll take each care of each other. Because thunder and lightning storms can be pretty scary. So I was, when I was watching that movie, I'm like, yeah, I used to hate thunderstorms. I mean, I always thought they were really interesting, but, especially when it was that really loud cracking sound. And
yeah.
In your case, when you're up on the mountain ridge, you know, walking along in it, essentially. I mean, you weren't on the ridge.
Yeah.
You were in a little bit in the valley, but still scary.
Yeah, we weren't on top
huh?
of the ridge.
Oh, you were on top of the ridge? Oh, okay.
No, we were not on top. But
not
we
on top,
top,
yeah.
Yeah. On top would be, like, really dangerous.
Right. On top is like you're a walking electric pole for the electricity
yeah.
to ground in. Yeah.
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 No, you would. That's not the place you would want to be at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a really interesting week because the T-square gets set off. We get asked to make some choices, figure out what we want to do. We have a new moon, which is always great for new intentions and vows for ourselves or for others. You know, we vow to do this better, or we try and change this. Great time for making changes. It's Cancer. making time for changes in your home and your diet and your routines, because Cancer loves routines, and food, you know. So there's a lot of options there. And then the T-square is very powerful. And, of course, Eris, the goddess of discord, may make you just completely have it with Venus, with Juno stationing to go direct. And you're like, you know what? If you can't do this, I'm moving on. You know, got to go. And that's the posture to take. It is time to leave if they can't show up. Saturn in Libra is saying, or if you don't want to show up for them, set them free, you know, because Saturn in Libra is all about how are we partnering going forward? You know, what's our vision for ourselves as people and by ourselves, but then what's our vision for our partnerships with other people? What do we want to work on them? Do we want to deepen them? Are they fine the way they are? What kind of changes do we see needed in them? So I think that's also a really important question that a lot of people will be grappling with. But with the Grand Trine in Fire, it's also not about being mean. It's about speaking to that higher soul in each of us, you know, the vision of who we can be if we're working at our magnanimous best and what that looks like and how that behaves and what that feels like. Because really, when you're really right in the middle of life, one of the things that's so helpful is having people that appreciate you, respect you, and like you. And so if they're not, that's not happening in your world, maybe you need to make some changes because, you know, we all need people supporting us rather than criticizing us or picking on us. So,
yep.
Anything you want to add to that? I'm feeling like I'm being a little preachery, but I am a little preachery. What can I say? I got Sag Midheaven. I get a little preachy on the bed. And, of course, the new moon is on my Jupiter, making me even more preachy than normal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that'll do it. All right, so why don't we take, some callers, or do you have anything else you want to warn people about this week ahead? Huh?
No, I think we should
take a caller. Okay.
Tune in and see what's going on out there.
All right, so callers, if you want us to call and you press 1, because that raises your question mark. If you don't have 1 pressed, I'm assuming you're just listening, and you don't want us to call on you. Hi, 540, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Do you have a question for us?
What's going on in my love life, in my chart?
Okay, and what's your birthday?
6/13/81.
June 13th, 1981. What time?
9:30 a.m.
Okay.
And where?
Alton, Illinois, Alton.
Alcon, Illinois?
Alton.
All right. Okay. Mark, what do you see? We always, June 13th, 1981, 9:30 in Alton, Illinois.
Yeah, 9:30 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have that all the way put together yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'll start then because we don't have that much time.
Yeah, you can start.
Okay. So, you know, what's going on in your love life? Well, basically, you have right now Saturn is stationing on your Juno. it has been, really. You've been playing with deciding what to do around relationships since November when Saturn got there last fall, and then he got to 29, and you might have kind of said, you know, maybe I need to change this up or shift it out or do something different, and that would have been in January time frame, end of January. And then he said, wait, please wait, and so you went back, and you said, okay, let's see what's going on. So Saturn on the partnership planet, and you have Juno joined to Pluto, so what could happen with that is you tend to get into relationships with people that have triangles, meaning another person or another thing. The person can be a wife, it can be a kid, it can be a mother, the thing can be a work, it can be an addiction, it can be, you know, something that they have to do and that they can't get away from it. So with Saturn and Pluto there, And Saturn in the third house, it's asking you to think about relationships that happened when you were 22, which wasn't that long ago, but also what you want from relationships and partnerships. So Saturn sitting on that is really asking you, traditional partnership, not so traditional partnership. With a Leo rising, you need to be respected. With the Gemini sun, you can pull in people that aren't always truthful. They mean to be, or they maybe they don't mean to be, but they leave out important parts, and you're left kind of trying to put the pieces together with that sun in Gemini. And so the story really has been a lot about what happened when you were 22, resolving that story, as well as the current story that's going on, and also saying to yourself, well, if I pull in these people that aren't necessarily truthful, and I can feel it, because you can, because you have that Scorpio moon, and you have those Cancer planets, and you have the North Node in the 12th house, you're always going to catch them if they don't tell you the truth. You're working out what your role is on it, and how to work with that, and how to see relationships in a way that is honoring of your Leo rising's need for being respected and loyalty, at the same time that allows you to think about things in a slightly different way. And with Jupiter and Saturn in the third, there's a really strong desire for traditional structures. And so you're also in the process, I would think, of reevaluating that. And that particularly right now has been kind of blown up. The structures that you thought you had created are being very deeply challenged because there's a lot of activity on them, and Mars right now is really stirring them up. So since November, you've been talking about what's the value, what's your value, who are you? Are you of value, or are you worth anything? As Mars has been going through your second house, and now with Saturn sitting down there on your Juno, it's saying, do I have to put up with this triangle anymore, or can I change this and come up with a different way of doing it? And the answer is yes, you can change it, but because of the fixed nature of your chart, it can sometimes be a little hard to believe that if you let go of what you have, something better will come in. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, this Pluto Uranus square, and now with Mars marching through it, they line up with your Mercury Venus conjunction, and so you're feeling a lot this need for change and a real pressure for change, and it has to be for real, and it has to be big, and it has to be definitive, and it has to be you. Also, all of that is lining up very strongly with your sense of who's important to you and how do you connect to them. And so when you're considering your various relationships or possibilities of relationships, look for your role in them, because that's what's really being tested within you right now is, who am I really to this person? And if there's anything that's not satisfactory about that, then it's not a good direction to go. And you can just drop that relationship or don't get it started. You know, look for your role, because you're really going to be very sensitive who you are within that relationship now. Does that make sense?
Right, yes.
Make awesome. Good. Okay. Cool. Good. So the British lady spoke. We have only one question today, but we'll be back next week. So we encourage you to call or email us. Although, of course, I completely forgot to check the email list to see if somebody sent a question. But I will check for next week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm supposed to check it, but I don't always think of it.
For next week, we'll look.
Next week, we'll look. Yeah, because Heather's gone for 2 weeks, I think. Right? She said two, maybe three. She's road tripping.
Yeah, she might be able to call in if she gets cell phone
reception. Cell phone reception, yeah.
Then I think that either next week or the other one of the two, she thinks there won't be.
What? Yeah. Cell phone reception. She told us, but we don't remember.
Yeah.
We just knew we're doing it together, just the two of us, for the next couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. I know she's going to be involved with a Sundance. Thing.
Yes, it sounded like very
that's
cool.
That's when she's likely not to have the
cell phone. Well, she's dancing in the sun, so you know you don't call in
exactly.
When you're dancing in the sun, even if it's dark out when we have the radio show. I noticed that. She said it's a Sundance, but it's at night we have the radio show, so whatever. She's on vacay. Okay,
yeah.
So that's it. The British lady's spoken. I'm Ann Ortley, an astrologer on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, and I'm joined with...
Mark Wolks over on the west side of New York, and we'll thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah, and if you're in the neighborhood, drop into Access Astrology. We're there this week. We're not there the 24th, and we'll be there the 31st. So that's tomorrow from 6:30 to 7:30. It's $5. It's a nice group of people, and you get to talk astrology. What could be bad about that? In the meantime, have a great week. And watch out for that. Watch out for that T-square triggering your chart. Because there also are four hammers of Thor, too, which we didn't even get to. But basically, we never get to hammers of Thor. Basically, you're being asked to evolve. Time to evolve. So evolve.
Okay.
All right. So bye, everybody.
Bye now.